Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Dr. Cartwright. So sorry. I was caught up in a class and with some of my students, but I'm here and my guest, Sylvia Cyrus. She is the director of ASALA in Washington, D.C., the Association for the Study of African American Life and History. So I'll bring her in. Sylvia. Is that you?
Good afternoon.
I so apologize.
How are you doing, Dr. Cartwright?
My students have me on a roll today.
I really understand. I really, really do.
And the alarm went off, and I said, okay, dismissed. And then I went on about grading my paper. So, Sylvia,
it's a very busy time. Very busy time.
Oh, well, it's a busy time, but it's a very... I don't know. Seeing as how it happens every 100 years, a pandemic, we must be in good shape here, huh?
I tell you, it's a real challenge right now.
Well, why don't you tell me what is happening with ASALA in this pandemic?
Well, I'd like to say good afternoon to your listeners, and I'm sure that they know all about the Association for the Study of African American Life and History and the importance and significance of this great organization that is dedicated to the research, preservation, and dissemination of the contributions of those of African descent. And we know how grounded we are in our history and how we are using our history to help us through these really challenging times. As we have been talking about this, and our governing board is called an executive council, we have been discussing some of these challenges, and of course, social distancing, for one, makes a lot of what we do, because we are such a community-focused people, that has a great impact on our programming. But for right now, what ASALA is doing is trying to stem the tide of the horrific numbers of African Americans who are being negatively impacted by COVID-19. And so what we are trying to do is go out to the community and share with people of color, especially those of African descent, that we must be particularly vigilant and control a lot of our own fate in our own hands by following those health regimens that make sense. Okay, because we've heard some things out here that don't make any sense. But we know that we can manage the curve, we can flatten the curve if we practice social distancing. That means that we can't get together and have family events. We shouldn't be doing that. We should not be even doing meet and greets at the grocery store. I mean, going grocery shopping should not be a social event. You have a list, you go in, get what you need, and come home. Because we're the ones who, we know, have disparity in terms of health issues. And COVID-19 is attacking those people who have serious health disparities. And unfortunately, Dr. Cartwright, because I am from New Jersey, at this point, almost daily, I am hearing about friends and loved ones who are either being succumbed to this virus, or either are diagnosed as getting the virus. So we first have a responsibility to take care of ourselves, take care of our families by social distancing. And then the other message that we are saying is the in addition to just Black people in general, that if our people are in nursing homes, our seniors, the elders of our community, are in nursing homes or extended care facilities, that they are being ravaged by this virus in huge numbers. And also our prison population, which, as we know, has a disproportionate amount of African Americans and people of color sitting ducks in the facilities where they are. So we are encouraging your listeners to get in contact with your state and local and municipal representatives and share with them that you want them to do everything that they can to provide the required PPE, protective equipment, tests, etc., to put those of us who are at the greatest risk in a position where they can receive treatment and they can be less impacted by this terrible virus. So those are the first things that we're working on.
Okay. Well, yes, we're all being impacted. I have had to literally switch a speech line to online. I know that's not as desperate as some people are, you know, but we're all facing challenges, you know. So, Sylvia, perhaps you could tell us, how do you see the chapters affecting change during this pandemic? How do you see them working together? Besides staying home, we can communicate. We have Zoom meetings. We have phone calls with each other. We have new plans. But what do you see that the chapters can do?
Well, with every lemon, we look for the lemonade. And I am going to say that the one advantage that I think that is going to come out of this whole situation is that we are going to, as our branches across this nation and as members, we're going to really understand the importance of communicating electronically. We are going to do a better job of using the type of software that you're talking about. We have the opportunity to be better connected. And so the research and important historical content and current events content about people of African descent that we have that sometimes stays in a small space can now be communicated more easily because everyone is having to use some software, be it Zoom or WebEx or a number of different software media that is out here to communicate with each other. We're all going to have to be on the phone. We're all going to have to be on the computer if we're going to keep up with not just content for our historical information, but just information as it relates to health. But then the other piece that is so important that we are also going to have to address, which is a good thing, especially in our community, is mental health issues as well. Because we know that we have already had challenges going into this situation. And as a people, we don't always feel that we need mental health counseling. We're quick to say, I'm not crazy. You know, I don't have a problem. And just because we're in the situation that we are in, this it puts us more at risk for depression, you know, a sense of loss, et cetera. And so we do need to reach out to each other. We do need to get more help. And our branches can help doing that by reaching out to all members. Maybe there are individuals who you haven't talked to who are in the branch for a number of months or even years, that this provides a great opportunity to do a just call, check to make sure that you're doing okay, and then to invite these members and other members of the community to participate in some of the programming that the branch does. So I think that the whole idea now is communication and sharing information, which is central to the mission and vision of this association, which is sharing the information about the contributions of Black people in America and Black people across the globe.
So I heard something that was a little disturbing to me yesterday on a call that I was on. I heard these people discussing the law of the land and do no harm, and how it came out of Switzerland or Sweden or somewhere. And I happen to know that Maat came out of Egypt. So, you know, what are we going to do to, okay, I'm trying to formulate my idea here, but how do we take our culture back? How do people that have destroyed almost every country that they ever went to, the culture, the fabric of the country, now they understand, or maybe we should be glad that they finally got to do no harm, Sylvia.
Well, what are your thoughts on that, Joan? I'd be very interested to hear what you have to say about that.
Well, you know, I'm a jazz musician, and I'm just at the end of my rope with our music being appropriated, with our fashion being appropriated. But when you begin to appropriate a philosophy that has been on the planet for 20,000 years, and now all of a sudden it's your idea, I don't think so. And I think that we have to be more vocal about how these people have destroyed the planet, how they are a virus. And everywhere we turn, they destroy everything. But then, now all of a sudden, you're awake and you understand God and that you may suffer from doing harm to other people. That's what I think.
I understand.
I'm sorry.
I mean, these are all things that this pandemic gives us an opportunity, because there's no place else to go, that we have the opportunity to do shows like this, that we have webinars and conference calls where we can really discuss these issues and we can enlighten our community, even if it's just one by one. So as you're saying, the South Florida branch there, certainly we know that Florida has been hit hard by this pandemic, and we know that we're still in the first wave. I don't care what they say, but we haven't gotten through the first wave yet. So I hope that your branch and others like yours are taking an opportunity to, within the leadership of branches, come up with areas of discussion that are important in your communities, and to start a dialogue, because an informed public is a powerful public. And so we can get people invigorated by talking to them, sharing this important information that ASALA members have, and we can come out of this in a better position in terms of how we are connected than we went in.
I agree. I agree with that. I see opportunity. I do. And this happens, it seems like it happens in the first 20 years of every single century, that it's a reset. It's time to reset. But when the governor of Georgia said, we're going to open barbershops, nail salons, and massage parlors, wasn't that a direction to kill black people?
Well, it was a direction to kill a whole lot of people. And I think that just by the virtue of the fact that the numbers are so unfairly weighted to killing or to putting black people and people of color at risk, that this is when your own common sense, from one perspective, for those in the public who have the choice to stay in or go out, or if you have to go out, to be as careful about how you interact with the public, et cetera, as you can. We have to be informed, and we have to be smarter than those who are not being very smart right now. So, again, this is where ASALA and other organizations in the community, when you're in Georgia and in these states that are opening back up, we have to have a strong message to the community. Even though the world is opening up, we have got to recognize that by just going out here and acting like there has not been a new world order is going to create more loss in our community, and we cannot afford it. So we've got to talk to each other. We have got to say to each other, no, even if there's a baseball game and you're tired of being cooped up in the house, you can't go unless you want to put yourself and your family at risk. And Dr. Cartwright, really the challenge is, especially for our young people, because young people are the carriers. And so they go out, and there's not the sole carrier, so I don't want to make any rash generalizations, but those people who are out there are bringing the virus home, and you're bringing it home to your parents and your grandparents. So we have got to be smarter. We have got to realize that we hold our future in our hands, and knowing that the challenges that we already have, that if we are the ones out on the beach, if we are the ones in the barbershops, if we are at the restaurants, that we know that we are doing risk to our own families and communities, and we have just got to be smarter than that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we can continue talking. I did lose 12 minutes in the beginning, but this show will continue to record. So,
well, thank you so much for inviting me, Dr. Cartwright. Thank you so much for inviting me. As you might imagine, right about now, ASALA is busily trying to do the best we can with a very important day today, which is Giving Tuesday. ASALA and organizations like ours stand to lose a significant amount of our income because of the fact that we have to limit our events. As you know, the programming that we do is for a wide audience, and not being able to get together and have these events has created a tremendous shortfall in our budget. So we're asking your listeners to pay attention to our emails, go to our website, make a donation, because the shortfalls are not going to be, we're not going to be able to fill the holes in our budget without the support of the community, who understands and knows how important it is for ASALA to be vibrant. And the unfortunate truth is that just as individuals have lost jobs and we are, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with our economy, but an organization like ours that has been around for 105 years, in order to survive, is going to take donations as small as $5 to whatever you can give. But we're asking your listeners to go to www.asalh.org. and make a donation today to help continue the legacy of Dr. Carter G. Woodson, to allow us to keep providing programming to educate our youth and the community, and so that the world will know that without the contributions of African Americans and those of African descent, this would not be the place that it is today. So please give. Please go to our website at www.asalh.org. And thank you so much for this opportunity. And I hope that I can join a show again on another day.
Well, absolutely. And we will be doing a show with Sean Jones from Atlanta next Tuesday. I do want to mention one thing. Last Tuesday, I had Dr. Roxana Anderson from my school, Palm Beach State College, and she is a mental health therapist. And I would encourage you to go listen to what she said about the mental health of Black people in this country, okay? Because you were,
I would love to,
you
do
were
that.
Talking about that, and yes, that is a problem. We, as a matter of fact, yesterday, I had a meltdown. Seriously, it was too much. I had 12 pass away since January that I knew, you know, and these are famous people that a lot of people know. So, you know, yesterday I couldn't take it anymore. I just had to stop and I had to cry because, you know, I've lived on this planet for 72 years and I've never seen anything like what's going on now. So you're right. We'll come out on the other side just fine. But
exactly,
almost 70,000 people that lost their lives in this country alone, you know, planet Earth is cleaning herself up because we have left a horrible footprint, you know. So we need to think about clean energy. We need to think about, you know, our waterways. Because without the planet, our history is not going to mean a thing without a place to live, you know. So, Sylvia, I can invite you back next month. If you have time, let Rochelle know. And I'd like to do it on this, you know, the afternoon. And anytime you want to do this, if you have a message you want to get out, let me know, okay?
Well, I really appreciate it, and thank you for the great work that you and the members there in South Florida are doing. And we will. I just want to encourage anyone who's listening and anyone who hears this show, if you are not a member of the South Florida branch of the Association for the Study of African American Life and History, please get in contact with Dr. Cartwright so you can join. There's plenty of work for us to do, especially during this pandemic. So please get in contact with her and become a part of this wonderful group of people who recognize the contributions of Black people and who want to see the legacy of the father of Black history, Dr. Carter G. Woodson, who really began the commemoration of Negro History Week, which is now Black History Month, who really made all that happen. So come and join us. We're a membership organization. Join us. We want you. We need you. Bring your ideas, your time, talent, and treasures. We'd love to have you, and have a wonderful afternoon.
Okay, and once this is archived in about 15 minutes, you can post it wherever you want to post it, the same link that I sent you, okay?
Thank you so much, and have a wonderful afternoon.
All right, and give my love to all the members
I certainly
of Stephen Washington.
Certainly will.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.